This commercial break is brought to you by the folks behind Rejection. This ageless brand has been around since the beginning of time. It comes from many angles in life. Not getting that dream job? Someone turning down your romantic gesture, or even a business partner scoffing at your money idea. Remember that rejection is no different than Advil. Just swallow that sucker down and forget it ever happened. Now, back to the show. Never what you wanted to be.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Welcome to another special episode of the Somali Nomad. I am your host, Sammy, and back once again for the second time on this podcast, I have my very good friend, Mo, Mohammed. I had him actually last year in August with his friend, Peter, and we were talking about many different topics. So I actually wanted to bring him back on again and talk about other pretty interesting topics that we have today. So Mohammed, man. How you been, my bro?
It's been great. It's a pleasure to be back. It's been a while. It's been a little over a year, I believe.
Yeah.
A lot of things have happened in that year, good and bad. I would say mostly good. And the bad, you know, we can always learn from the bad and you know, better ourselves from our negative experience. And that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm trying to make light of the situation. A lot of things have happened business-wise that affected my relationship. And it's these things, these experiences in life that shape us in the future. So what you are, you know, is you're a product of your lifelong experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, the topic, like me and we kind of want to discuss was like how our history kind of shaped like who we are, especially like when it regards to like, you know, relationships. And for Mohammed here, like if you listened to the episode last year, like he's talked about how he's been married for more than 10 plus years and has a couple of children and all. And obviously, he mentioned it last year that there's always been ups and downs with what he's gone through. And I've also had many different people, married couples as well, in the podcast this year who have talked about the same thing. And me being a guy who's not married, you know, like I'm kind of like opening my eyes and learning a lot about people's relationships and stuff like that. And yeah, the one thing I did want to talk to Mohammed about, honestly, was like history, you know, because like that wasn't something he really divulged that much of in the previous episode. So like, yeah, Mohammed, I just want to like know, and you know, you can ask me as well, since like we're going to be going back and forth a lot. But like, what was your history like with the women that you dealt with that led to where you were today in regards to like you being a married man? And well, like, what was the lessons you kind of learned from that?
Well, I would say that, you know, since the beginning of my teenage years, I did a lot of experimenting. I, you know, like any young, impressionable teenage boy, at around, you know, starting at around age 14 and onwards, you experiment, you have certain preferences, you meet girls, and, you know, you go through a trial and error, a lifelong trial and error experience or basis until you meet the right one. And you know, some people, I mean, they're few and far between, you know, they manage to find the high school sweetheart, and then they go and get married and have, you know, three children, and they live happily ever after. My experience, I'm sure, is like most of the men out there. I had to experiment quite a few. With quite a few ladies. I was dating pretty regularly, probably from when I was 16 onwards. So 14 to 16 is, you know, you like the girl, whatever, you see her and you fool around. 16 is when you start having more long-term, if you will, relationships. You know, they could go from, and I say long-term, I use that term very loosely. I'd say maybe from 3 months to a year, if you're lucky, when you're a teenager. But back then, you know, seeing a girl, for me, didn't even last more than, you know, 4 or 5 months. I guess you could say I had commitment issues. You know, and that was something that I had to work with when I got married. Because that partner, you're supposed to get it right. You're supposed to commit to them for the rest of your life if you really love them. And it was because of my past and my experience and my trial and error that I believe that I was lacking in the commitment department. Now, I wouldn't say that I was fooling around. It was, you know, to be honest, my wife was always, I don't want to say the jealous type, but understandably, you know, if she saw me looking at a girl a certain way or whatever, or if I paid attention to a girl walking by, then, you know, she would notice immediately. And maybe texting old, female acquaintances of mine that I might have had relationships with in the past, you know, that kind of thing. Do I want to say I had a problem staying monogamous? No, it wasn't that. It was, I had a problem staying focused on one person. Because throughout my dating life, from when I was 14 to 23, 4, it was very regular to see different women at different stages, many different women, and a plethora of experience. I wouldn't say that I was a sleaze. It was just a little harder for me to adjust. You know, I was a ladies' man, if you will. And it took a lot of adjusting to do. But now I think I'm good. I think I'm fine. I think I'm behaving. And it took a lot of adjusting. I guess you could say it's not a storybook ending, but I'm doing good and I'm happy in the place that I'm in right now.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I did want to ask is because, like, since you are married, you know, and we're both Muslim, right?
Right.
There's been, like, a very interesting, debate going on. I had this last year, actually, with a group of guys I spoke with back in, actually, it was, like, the last week of December, around there, where I spoke to a bunch of brothers. And the one topic they were talking about is, you know, how there's a lot of sisters that, you know, don't like the idea of brothers having up to four wives, right?
Right.
And hearing, like, what you're just mentioning right now, how, like, you know, your wife gets jealous of you, like, looking at other women and stuff like that, you know, and how a guy's has sexual needs that, you know, one girl can't fulfill, especially eventually if she has, like, you know, kids, you know, if she has to deal with a family, that kind of stuff, right? Like, a guy still has that sexual need, right? Like, where do you fall in line in regards to that topic, you know, where there's women that, you know, are adamant, like legitimately adamant, that say, in the end, I want this one guy to be with me no matter what. And then the guy's like, okay, what if I give you a kid, but yet I still have sexual needs? What can you do? How can you fix that problem? You know what I mean? Like, that's why, you know, in the Quran, it says that.
In the Quran, I'm going to quote it in the, you know, in English. It's, yeah. You know, it's, Allah says in the Quran, marry the woman of your choice by twos and by threes and by fours. But if you cannot do justice between all of them, yeah, marry only one. You see, the Quran is the only scripture that emphasizes you marry only one. And you should only marry one, and you are required to marry only one if you cannot fulfill the needs of all of your women equally. Okay? Now, it's funny that that Islam is picked on as a religion, you know. By default, everybody says that, oh, Islam is the religion where you guys can marry four women, eh? You know, kind of like the butt end of every joke.
Yeah.
But
how crazy is it that in this society that we're in, especially in 2022, like you look at all the social media and everybody has side chicks.
They have, yeah, side mistresses, mistresses,
side bitches, all this shit. But yet the idea of being a wife who's entailed full rights in a marriage,
right?
They cannot swallow it whatsoever.
You know, it's funny. I guess being polyamorous in the 21st century. The 21st century is more normal than being a Muslim who's legitimately married to one more than one woman.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. I mean, it goes with everything in Islam. We just seem to be picked on. You know, we were way ahead of our time in terms of like lifestyle and religious and choices and everything. But yet Islam and Muslims as a whole, you know, we're being picked on. And that's, just, you know.
I'll tell this right now. I've kind of made this corny joke in the past. You know, there's a website here in Ottawa. And I guess in Canada, it's called AshleyMadison.com.
Yes.
Where basically, it's basically like a website to have affair with a mistress, right?
Right.
Imagine if Muslims had the equivalent version of that, HalimaAli.com.
Yeah.
That business will be booming, I'm telling this right now. But instead of mistress, you're looking for an extra wife.
That's right.
Business will be booming because, I'll tell this right now, you will never have these kind of honest conversations with especially with brothers who are married, because in the end, they don't want to upset their wives. They don't want to upset what they built, you know what I mean?
It's just societal norms nowadays. I mean, we live in a land, Canada, where first of all, it's illegal to be married to more than one.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're legally married to one, you could commit, you are free to commit adultery with any other woman.
Yeah.
Right? Islam is the only solution to that problem, which says, no, you legally have to take care and you're legally responsible for another spouse.
Yeah.
You know, but we're laughed at because, you know, oh, how could you? You know, you're like the fundamental Latter-day Saints, FLDS.
Yeah.
With Warren Jeffs, who has 17. No, Islam sets a limit. It says it chose the magic number of four. And that's it. Marry up to four. It's not marry four. It's marry the woman of your choice by twos and by threes and by fours.
Yeah.
If you cannot do justice, marry only one. Okay? You cannot interpret it any way you want. Just listen to the words. And how it's interpreted is that it's not up to you to get married to another woman. Just on a whim. You are supposed to have the permission of your wife. You are... Just so that she knows what your needs are, why you're doing what you are doing, and she has to accept it. Okay, there are rules, there are stipulations, there are ways to doing this. This is not a lawless way of thinking. No, there's a procedure, there's criteria that you got to follow. When you get married, you can't do it in secret. You have to have witnesses, right? And it's a holy sanctity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not games. This is not a polyamorous relationship. You know, where it's thrill seeking. No, this is legitimate. You are bearing responsibility for another person and you have to treat him just as good as you treat your wife, or you have to treat the new wife just as good as the first one, or the first one has to be treated just as good as the new one. You can't pick favorites. You have to treat them equally. But I mean, try to explain that in the 21st century, right?
A lot of people cannot swallow it. A lot of people cannot swallow it. Like, there's a lot of sisters, unfortunately, they can't swallow it, you know. And like, when I was writing the book, the Somali Nomad book last year before I launched the podcast, like, that was questions I actually asked potential girls all the time. They would ask me actually. And then I would ask them back, like, what their thoughts were, because they would ask me. And me personally, like, I never thought of myself as marrying more than one wife. Like, I was like, oh, you know, it is what it is. It's in the Quran and stuff. And I felt like, and then I learned later on that it was more of a test they would ask, because they want to see in the end that if a guy said yes to, hey, having more than one wife, then they didn't want to deal with that trouble. So they'll just move on. They want to see if a guy is like loyal enough to them. Right? Not necessarily caring about the religion itself. It's just like, you know what I mean? Like, I felt like, you know, it was more of a red flag. If a girl is going to disregard that part of the religion, then I'm like, okay, this is not a girl I want to settle down with.
That's right, because she's going to disregard other aspects of religion that exactly. are more important than that.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. They're going to be wishy-washy, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, like just because you don't like it doesn't necessarily mean you have to reject it.
That's right. It's a look, Islam is a system.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a system that you got to follow to a T. Unfortunately,
yeah.
you know, us, and I'm guilty of it myself, I don't follow it to the T. I, you know, but yeah. I try my hardest to. I do mean, I do my prayers, salat, and my fasting, siyam. And, you know, I don't drink, alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could be doing so much more.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean that I'm disregarding the rest of, you know, the teachings in Islam and the ideology? Hell no. You yeah. know? You know, Islamic law, if it says to marry the woman of your choice by twos, by threes, by fours.
Yeah.
But if you can't do justice between all of them, marry only one. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, you know, and present it to my non-Muslim friends and say, oh, you know, no, you don't take the script literally, you know,
yeah.
and kind of spout it any way that I want. No. Yeah, it does allow us to marry up to four women, not marry four women and that's it. No, no, no. Marry up to four women. Yeah. If you are capable, right? If your wife allows you to, if you are able to support them financially, right? You can't be picking favorites in this. This is serious. This is serious because this is not a polyamorous relationship. No. This is a lifelong partner that is going to be staying by your side, presuming, you know, I mean, that's the intentions that you went into it with, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to be sharing your life just like how your first spouse shared your life. And that's it. You know, that was the system that was a law written by Allah, and that's it. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a man. There are many other laws that were written in favor of the woman.
Yeah.
And they include things like when they asked the Prophet, who should I love more, mm-hmm. my mother or my father? And the Prophet replied to them, your mother.
Yeah.
And then they would ask him, and then who? He replied, your mother.
Yeah.
And then they replied, then who? And he replied, your mother, three times.
Yeah.
And then who? And then your father.
Yeah.
Okay? So as a child, you are encouraged to love your mom three times as much as your father. Okay?
Yeah.
Women are so respected and revered in Islam. Okay? A child cannot enter paradise or will not be forgiven or cannot enter heaven unless their mother forgives them.
Mm-hmm.
All right? If your mother is angry at you for a legitimate reason and you pissed them off, whether you called them a bitch or you hit them, God forbid, or you forbade them from doing something that they wanted, which you had no right to, and as a result, they died and they were still upset with you, guess what? That's a one-way ticket, not to heaven. I'll tell you that. Another thing is inheritance law. When a woman inherits money from her father, from her mother, from whatever, no one can dictate what she does with that money. When a man inherits money, he's supposed to split it amongst whatever and, you know, his family. But when a woman gets her cut, nobody has any say into the money that she receives. Okay?
Yeah.
These are some very, very small examples of how women are treated well in Islam. Okay? Women have had the right to vote long before the Western world in the 20th century or the 21st century. They were able to hold office long before in the Western world. A lot of rights were given to Muslims or Muslim women before they were introduced in the West. But, you know, so, like I said, we have to be picked on. It's our turn to be picked on. And, yeah, that's just the way it is right now.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's unfortunate. I'm glad, like, you kind of told the audience a little bit about, like, what the rights that women do have in Islam, especially with the mother and, you know, respecting her and stuff. And I feel like people do remember that. People do remember that, but at the same time, I think sometimes they abuse it to the max. Like, in regards to women, and I believe, like, especially here in the West, like, you know, like how in weddings, you know, they get a lot of the mahr money. You know, like, yeah. The family. Like, I know friends of mine who got married, and the women and their family, like, abused the mahr money, abused the wedding money, and then basically when the guy gets divorced, they try to hustle him. That too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and this is like outside of the actual, like, divorce courts here in Canada and stuff, you know, like they actually try to, like, hustle them and try to use the deen when some of these families are not even that religious from the get-go. Like, the girl's not even that religious, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, it is honestly, like, very unfortunate that this happens.
It is unfortunate. People are cherry picking elements of the religion.
Yeah.
You know, to whatever suits their lifestyle or their needs.
Yeah.
That's
like, for me, that's why, like, how, like, the topic of the discussion today is, like, basically the metamorphosis of, like, who we are, you know? And for me, I learned a lot of that stuff, like, probably since, like, high school, like, when we're in high school together, right? And, like, coming up to university afterwards, and I saw that firsthand. Like, me personally, I never even dealt with Somali women until university. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I slowly understood, like the good and the bad of what came through, because I was blinded by it. I'm not gonna lie. I will raise my hand up and I will say I was blinded, because I had a misconception about Somali women in general, and I felt like they were the type that would not be typical of other women that I've dealt with in the past.
You mean like that they were somehow better?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Somehow better because of the culture and right. The religion. Mm-hmm. And what I realized down the line is that I put them on a pedestal that they shouldn't have. And, like, that was a lesson I learned, that in the end, we're all human.
We are all human.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what our background is, you know, it comes down to you as an individual.
Yeah.
What do you hold, you know, with your values? I bet you anything from all walks of life, no matter where they're from, whether it's from, you know, they're from Canada or from, you know, Albania or from Russia or from Africa or wherever.
Yeah.
You're going to find a girl that suits your needs. Okay, yeah. That's going to hold the same values as what you think that the, you know, a proper woman should hold in terms of values. You know, so a lot of women, even from those cultures that I just named, aside from the Muslim culture or the Arabic culture or whatever, they, you know, I've met ones that remained virgins, and they're going to hold on to their virginity until they get married, which is wow, you know, yeah. It's unheard of. Outside of the Islamic world, but it's there. It's there.
Yeah.
Things like, you know, women wanting to have children, which is right now, you know, believe it or not, it's a very big divide. A lot of people our age are choosing not to have children, you know, but if you're that type that like Warsami, I'm sure you're trying to have children in the future.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't just have to go to a Somali girl and find that. You'll find that in any other culture, right?
If you would have asked me that last year before I launched the podcast,
yeah,
I would have been like 110%. I would have probably landed a Somali girl and done that. But like now, not so much.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that you're keeping your options open.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that he's canceling the Somali sisters out. So
No. And I don't want people to misconstrue that. I'm not canceling that. I was kind of like narrow-minded in regards to, like, hey, I'm going to end up with that. But I didn't realize that there's more out there than being here in Canada or US, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And I want to expand on that.
Absolutely.
In regards to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, one thing... Oh, so we've been friends since it's been 22 years almost, yeah. Right? Something like that?
Yeah.
So we've been friends for almost 22 years. One thing that Warsami tells me when, you know, we're chatting amongst ourselves is the thing that I like about you is that, and the reason why I'm your friend, is that you haven't changed after all these years.
Yeah.
Right? And it's the same with Warsami. The guy hasn't changed after all these years. He still holds the same values. He hasn't sold out. He's the same guy. He's the same guy that I've known since I was 14. Obviously, we have matured. You know, maybe we're not watching WWE like we used to.
Oh, I still watch WWE.
Oh, well, yeah, one of us has matured.
I'm still a huge pro wrestling fan. Everybody who knows me. Like, I still watch WWE, AEW, all that. So for I still sure, watch that, for yeah. Sure.
But and you know, he stayed true to himself, and you know, I wish I could say the rest or the same for the community. As time went on, I saw a noticeable change amongst the Muslim community, men and women, with regards to how they present themselves, how they act. I would say it is accordingly, but it's not.
Yeah,
it's embarrassing at times.
Yeah,
and
let's actually talk about what we're talking about for the podcast. I was telling Muhammad that back in 2006-07 in Ottawa, there used to be a very notorious website called Somaligate, where basically this person, whoever it was, grabbed the most erotic, insane stories of actual Somali people, like Somali guys and girls that are in universities and colleges throughout Ottawa and Toronto, and basically exposed their sex lives and exposed like crazy stuff that was happening. And that actually, like, I would say hurt the community a lot, because once Facebook kind of became popularized in 2007, people wouldn't put names and faces to those stories, and people got out of it because of that. A lot of people who are still in Ottawa still knows that website. But I was just telling Muhammad about that because I was like, you know, a lot of people kind of got affected by it, you know, and a lot of people kind of looked things differently because of that, and looked at relationships a lot differently because of that, and felt like a huge mistrust because of that.
You know, it's funny you should say that. I remember at around the same time, maybe before 07, 06, maybe around 05.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like maybe my first year in university, I remember vaguely that, somebody in the Iraqi community got a hold of some real and some fake pictures or videos.
Yeah.
Not all of them were real. Anybody who's in Ottawa, who's from the Iraqi community, who was around at that time, knows what I'm talking about. And who's in the same age group as myself, knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, they were taking them, putting names of, you know, daughters of known members of the community. And yeah, he would post these pictures of videos, whatever. And I mean, they weren't erotic or anything. They just were outside the comfort zone of our community. But it made an everlasting negative impact on the community.
Yeah.
It caused trust issues. And in some ways, you know, the community never really recovered. Even though it's been 16 years, about since that event occurred, But yeah, it's just to give you an idea of how conservative our communities are, and how they entrust their children, into being examples, into setting examples for their peers. Or for you know, the generation after them, how much trust they put into us, that we're supposed to lead by example. But unfortunately, I would say that both communities disappointed.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'll tell this right now. I was very naive to a lot of that stuff until I saw Somaligate.
Yeah.
Until I saw like a bunch of there was other social media groups that did expose a lot of that stuff. I was very naive to a lot of that. I'm not gonna lie. I was very naive. I legit thought, hey, you know, our community are not that type that's gonna divulge in that kind of stuff. But like, hey, you'll see videos, you'll see photos of like stuff that you should not be seeing.
No, and even I mean, not to have you guys look for these things, but even some erotic blogs.
Yeah,
you know,
Muhammad was actually showing me. There was an erotic blog he showed me. I'm assuming it was written recently, probably during the pandemic. Who knows? Of a Somali girl in Ottawa talking about having an orgy with four Somali dudes.
Yeah,
I didn't believe this. He actually legitimately showed me it, And I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah. Not that it matters. The details matter. But it was it was an orgy. It was of two Somalian girls and two gentlemen.
Yeah.
And I mean...
Yeah. But I'll be honest. Like, I heard these kind of stories in Toronto, too. And I lived in Toronto for a bit as well. Like, yeah. I heard that. My cousin was telling me, like, he would pick up Somali girls and, like, other girls, Arab girls, too. Like, right. All hijabis, like, taking it off and, like, and partying, clubbing up, you know? And, like, I'm not shocked, not people. I'm just saying, like this, it was stuff, like, I saw, like, 10, 15 years ago. And I was legitimately shocked because I was, like, naive at the time. But, like, now... I would say it's normal. And you know, the thing is, in the end, it shouldn't be normal. You know, like I think we should also hold ourselves a higher standard, especially as Muslims, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Look. But unfortunately, we don't, especially in this day and age. So it's hard. And this is something a lot of friends talk to me all the time. It's hard, for both sides to kind of look at each other. Like, I'm not just Somalis in general, like even Muslims in general, especially if you're looking to settle down here where you don't know the person you're talking to actually has a history or not. You don't know what kind of stuff they've done.
That's true.
Yeah, because in the end, that stuff could be plastered all over social media.
Right.
And that's the theme of this episode we're talking about, like our history. Your history can be blasted. You wouldn't know.
And it'll catch up with you.
Yeah, 100% it'll catch up with you.
So look, it'll catch up with you, meaning that do not pretend to be somebody that you're not, right? If you were, a wild go-getter, whatever, and you love to do whatever... Your spouse has the right to know about your past. I know the past is the past, but the past is what shaped you.
Yeah.
Right? If you're having commitment issues, it was because of your past, I'm sure, because your past is what shapes you.
Yeah.
Right? Like I said earlier on, I had a rocky start to my relationship. That's, it's still, there's remnants of it, but, thank God, I'm slowly working on it to better it. That I had commitment issues and it was affecting my marriage in the beginning. And I'm glad to say that it's not as much as it used to. But right now, I guess the difference is that I am able to come to terms with it. And you should be able to come to terms with your past. If you have a past, don't hide it. Don't hide it. I swear to God, you're going to be exposed. Man or woman, you're going to be exposed. And trust me, it's not a great feeling when you do get exposed.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
What do you say to that, Sports?
I actually do agree. Actually, last year, and I actually told this to a few friends of mine, like, I was legitimately shocked. Like, a friend of mine actually showed me and another friend, like, he was, like, mentioning a girl I used to work with in a retail store a couple of years ago. And he's like, hey, have you heard so-and-so? What happened to this person? I was like, no. And he's like, this person became an OnlyFans girl.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I was like, what? I didn't believe it at first. And then he showed me images on his phone. And I was literally shocked. I'm like, this girl, I consider her a friend.
Yeah.
I consider her like she was a coworker of mine. And now she's doing this during the pandemic. I was like, wow. I was legitimately shocked. I was like, wow. And the thing is, in the end, she disconnected her social media and changed her name and everything. Just make sure that no one that knew of her knew her.
Okay. I just got to say, your friend that I guess is exposed her, if you will.
Yeah.
How the fuck did he find her?
So she told her boyfriend that he's friends with.
Uh-huh.
And then the boyfriend, I guess, disapproved and...
Disapproved or got into a fight or whatever.
Yeah, and then basically, more or less, cut her off. And then afterwards, he told him. And then that's what he told me. And I was like, I was legitimately shocked. I was like, wow.
See what I mean, guys? You stay true to yourself and you don't lie to others.
Yeah.
Then... You shouldn't have anything to worry about because you got nothing to hide.
Yeah.
But even if you have a checkered past, be honest about your checkered past.
Yeah.
And mention that you're trying to rehabilitate yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whether it's emotionally, sexually, whatever, physically, anything. Just be true to yourself and be true to the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, especially. Because that person... In most cases, is the person that you see having children with.
Yeah.
Trusting them with your day-to-day activities, whatever it is. So just be honest.
I think the thing is accountability. I think that's something that's lacked nowadays.
Well, whatever. Accountability, it's... Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I thought you meant more along the lines of people fearing the consequences.
It's part of that too. Yeah. I feel like that equates with that as well, because I feel like with guys, I feel like nowadays they're not as accountable. Like if you see online, like they don't like take care of themselves. You know what I mean? Mentally, they're very weak, you know,
yeah.
Especially when it comes down to women, they're simps. Like that's a huge market, which is why especially during the pandemic, OnlyFans became one of the top sites in the world.
Because, showed how many pussies there are out there in the world. Guys, I swear to God, I do not have any respect for you. If you're subscribed to an OnlyFans account, you're a pussy, you know, you're a piece of shit. You could get access to better looking girls than that for free on any porn site. Okay. I'm not trying to give you ideas, but that's just the way it is. If you're pathetic enough to simp for a specific girl and pay for her to fucking send you pictures or little short clips that get you off, I feel sorry for you. You know what? Good for the girl that's doing OnlyFans, because she tapped into a market for full of pussies. And I have no respect for you guys.
Yeah, it's... And if you see these guys, they're out of shape dudes. These are guys that you could tell that are just like straight up gamers. They never left their house at all. Like, and they have legit no confidence. You could tell too, like if they were talking to someone in real life, like they wouldn't even form a sentence.
How do you get off of that? You know, like I don't get it, man. It's what is it? It's suspension of disbelief.
It's suspension of disbelief because they're going to pay these girls to have them personalize messages to them.
And so that's all it is.
That's all it is in the end.
Like a cameo appearance.
Exactly. But a cameo where the girl can basically do whatever sexual favors she wants on the camera.
Well, fucking who cares, man? A girl can...
Yeah.
Excuse me.
But those guys... But those guys prefer that. They prefer that because like in the end, they're never going to get a girl like that in real life. Like they'll never hit the gym. They'll never actually have the confidence. They'll never get a better job. They'll never move out. Yeah. I mean, they'll never do any of that stuff. So they felt like in the end, you know what? I'll pay $20 to $50, get a personalized message, have the girl do some sexual favors on camera. You know what I mean? And I get off of that.
See, girls, ladies, this is where you have the upper hand, right? Us guys could never get rich off of OnlyFans, you know, for with girls that have low self-esteem and that all of the above. I mean, just look at the ratios. What is the ratio of female escorts or hookers or sex workers to male sex workers, right? Yeah. You would say it's probably 100 to 1.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because women don't need that suspension of disbelief like these weak men do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm sorry to say, fellas, if you're one of them that are listening, you need to check yourself. You really need to check yourself.
Yeah.
If you're paying basically a gym membership every month.
Yeah.
Right? To see a girl naked.
On camera.
On camera. Yeah. Sporadically. I mean, it's not even regularly.
No.
Right?
No.
And she's sending personalized messages to you just so you could get that little dopamine boost. Fuck you. You're ugly. I don't care about you. You know, and I don't feel sorry for you either. I mean, I pity you.
Yeah.
I pity you, but I don't feel sorry for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... Simps piss me off so much. Mamas, they piss me off so much. Listen, for me, I have my faults with girls, but I would never, ever simp for a girl. I would never do that shit.
Look,
that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
This is different, right?
Yeah.
It's not like these guys are going to get pussy at the end of the night.
Yeah.
Excuse my language there, ladies especially.
Yeah.
It's not like the guy's going to get laid at the end of the night.
Yeah.
Okay? This is not like Morsami meets this beautiful girl tonight. They go out to coffee. He's trying to sweet talk her so that he could get some tonight or something down the line. Because he's working towards something that's actually attainable, right?
Yeah.
A physical interaction, an emotional interaction, whatever.
Yeah.
But these guys, it's like paying for a fake degree, right? You know, you go to those diploma mills, and you buy those degrees from Harvard or whatever, and you try to get a job, right? You didn't do all the hard work, and it's never gonna work.
Yeah.
You're never gonna get the fucking job because there's always that trail. Same thing with this OnlyFans bullshit. You are never, ever gonna be in that girl's arms. Know that. Know that before you decide to click on the subscribe button or the donation. What? How, I don't know how the fuck it works. Donation?
Yes. Donations.
Right. There's like tier levels.
There's tier levels. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Especially for the ones that are on the highest tier or tier. What is it? Highest tier?
Yeah.
Is that what they call
it? Tier one, tier two, all that stuff. Yeah. Yeah. It's right? Crazy.
The ones that are paying the premium for premium quote unquote content, right?
Yeah.
You don't deserve my respect, nor the respect of you know, the whole male race. You don't. Yeah. You don't, man. Or species, or whatever the fuck, gender.
Yeah.
Okay? You have zero respect for me.
Yeah.
Okay, and if you're the type to pay for that kind of subscription, look, everybody's is free to do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
But everybody's free to critique whoever the fuck they want. And these are the people I critique the most. Because I don't get it.
Yeah.
I will never get it. Oh, my God. Like, what other example do I... It's like, how do you say? Let's say if you can stream the fight for free for UFC.
Yeah.
All right? You have the... Like, I do it. Subi. Okay, everybody? I have a black box that streams all the fights. You know, I have some friends over.
Yeah.
And we have a party, watch party, whatever.
Yeah.
If you were to tell me right now, hey, Mo, take that box and unsubscribe to it. I pay $23 a month for it. So it's not like I'm getting it for free. But to be fair, that $23 gets me unlimited service. So instead of paying thousands of dollars a month, for shit that, I mean, I can't afford that shit if I was paying for every hockey game, every UFC fight, every soccer game, every porn move, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right? I have access to this box that gets me free fights, or I have to pay $80 to watch a Conor McGregor fight. Right?
Yeah.
I already have the subscription, the access to the fight. I'm going to watch it. Why the fuck would I pay $80?
Yeah.
Right, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's crazy. But like, if you're gonna throw that logic to those people, like, they won't listen. Like, the reason why me personally, I just like dislike it is because you were mentioning earlier, I'm a huge wrestling fan,
right?
And I noticed this year, especially in 2022, I was legitimately at least shocked, the amount of wrestling females that started OnlyFans,
right?
And they made way more money on OnlyFans than their actual wrestling salaries.
I saw this piece on Vice.
Yeah.
Where I don't know, I forget. I can't remember if it was Shane Smith or somebody else.
Yeah.
So I have snippets of it.
Yeah.
He'd ask her, oh, how much are you making?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I only make 12 million a month.
Yeah.
12 million. Do you motherfuckers understand that amount?
Yeah.
12 million. How many simps did it take to subscribe to that bitch every month?
Yeah.
For her to reach $12 million a month, people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What is the average subscription amount? I don't even know.
It depends on the girl at this point.
Unbelievable.
It depends on the girl.
Unbelievable. It's pitiful. Oh, let's say each subscription is $12 a month. Whatever. I'm throwing numbers out there. I don't know shit.
Yeah.
Do you understand that means there's 1 million sorry ass piece of shit simps out there?
Yeah.
That don't choose to fucking hold themselves by the balls and say, I'm going out tonight, and I'm going to find me a lady or a partner or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try. I'm going to get rejected until I find the right one that I click with. What happened to the art of socializing? What happened to the art of basic human interaction?
I'll tell you, Mohammed. So our generation, we got rejected so many times. I don't know how many
times. That's fine. Hey, me too. Me too.
We all got rejected. Yeah. We got rejected in parties. We got rejected in campus. We got rejected in many different ways, right? We took it. We learned from it and we moved on.
That's right.
This generation, this like online generation, so social media generation.
This woke generation.
Basically, they saw rejection for the first time and they said, you know what? I'm done with it. First time is way too many times. What they're doing now is now they're doing online dating, e-dating. Where they go on camera and they're e-dating during the pandemic.
Jesus.
It's a big thing on Twitch.
Are you
serious?
It's
a big thing on YouTube. Oh, yeah.
See, that I didn't know about. Guys, you're killing me here.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, where basically they're like talking to a girl and they that's how they interact. They'll never interact in person. It's over the camera. They're just interacting, like e-dating. And then OnlyFans is another one. And like a bunch of other online forums where in the end, they'll never have to deal with that rejection because in the end, if the girl rejects, it's not real life to them.
Right.
Even though they're getting that personalized connection with them. It's not the real interaction they're dealing with face to face in person.
I bet you anything that bitch is acting too.
Oh, 100%.
She's pretending to give a shit.
She's pretending, 100%. Right?
Is she getting paid for those e-dates?
Some of them are.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, there you go, simps.
Yeah.
Case fucking closed.
Yeah.
Grow some balls.
Yeah.
Look, the only time you should be paying for a girl is if you're going to buy her drinks or dinner on a date where you're actually looking at her face to face. You can smell her perfume. You can hold her hand.
Yeah.
You can maybe give her a kiss.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're paying... Oh, man. I don't know where to go with this. If you're paying a girl to virtually be there for you...
Yeah.
To pretend that she gives a fuck about your small dick... I don't feel sorry for you. I really don't. Because you're not putting any effort into it. And yeah. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah.
You have no respect.
Yeah. It's beyond sad, but it's going to get worse, Mohammed, before it gets better. That's the issue.
I believe it with this metaverse bullshit. Jeez. Yeah. Imagine all the virtual reality dates that you're going to go get with those pink-haired anime girls that'll suck you off.
That's what they're
imagining. That's where we're going, right?
In 2023, 2024, that's what they're imagining.
Wow.
That's what they're imagining. Yeah, like having virtual families and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Listen, not to, you know, steer away from our conversation, but Okay, so you ever watch the YouTube channel Nas Daily?
No.
Okay, so it's about this Israeli... I'm not going to call him Israeli. He's a Palestinian guy with an Israeli passport.
Yeah.
So he goes around and, you know, meets these different people from, like, billionaire. He's even done something with Bill Gates.
Yeah.
He does these one-minute videos about certain countries or a topic or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's his shtick, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things that he did was a piece on these crypto billionaires.
Yeah.
And how somehow these crypto billionaires have started this metaverse world.
Yeah.
Where you can actually buy property online.
Yeah.
And virtual paintings. I think they're called NFTs, right?
Yeah.
Artwork that are fucking people are paying $60 million for some of them. I think the one that was sold for the most, excuse me. The most amount of money was, get this, guys, $69 million, not fucking pesos, not Iraqi dinars, right? $69 million. Wow. This guy paid for a virtual painting, an NFT fucking painting. Okay. These guys, you can now buy property in this virtual reality. Okay, yeah. So a property that you can't even, that you don't own, you can't physically touch.
Yeah.
Guys, same thing with these girls. You can't physically touch these girls. The extent of you being with her is you just bidding off to the picture.
Yeah.
And that's it, guys. Sorry for the sisters that I'm being graphic, but this is how pathetic some guys who call themselves men are. Okay?
It's not some guys. It's most guys.
Well, you know what I mean?
It's most guys in the West.
I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. But no. Yeah, most fucking guys that call themselves men.
Yeah.
This is what they're becoming. This is what I refuse to become. Guys, girls. When is enough enough?
Yeah.
Where are we headed? To La La Land? Or do you want to stay in reality? Look, the more you want to, you know, quote, evolve, unquote, the more you're going to fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Whether it's with societal norms or, look, there's evolution, right? Which is apparently what this world is doing, you know, with going to this virtual land or whatever, or the metaverse. And then there's revolution. You can revolutionize something, you know, whatever it is. You can revolutionize. The dating world was revolutionized when, I don't know, these dating apps came about.
Yeah.
Right? Where it gave people access to more people out there.
Yeah.
Right? It changed the day, right? It revolutionized it, didn't 110%. It? The dating world, right?
110%.
You can swipe right to the person that you like.
Yeah. It revolutionized, but I feel like it empowered the women and depowered the men. Because if you look at the stats
Unless it's Bumble.
I don't know, man. Even Bumble. But like for example, like when it comes down to, you know, Tinder and, yeah. or you're mentioning Bumble or Hinge or these other ones, even Muzmatch and Salams, the ones I was using for the Muslim ones as well. Same thing. They benefit the women more than the men. Like, yeah. I mean, like in the end, the men are the ones are the ones swiping, and the women are the ones like rejecting most of the time.
Yeah, that's true. So this means that everybody's got to ditch their Tinder and go on Bumble, guys. Okay, because Bumble, the woman gets it. It's the woman has to like you.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
But honestly, Bumble's the same thing as any other, because the woman is gonna like any other.
No, but there's a little twist, man. I don't know for the life of me, but I know Bumble is somehow different. Okay? It gives men that edge. It gives men that edge.
I don't know. I feel like they're all the same at this point. Like it's like online, like these online.
Okay. I think the women like you, and then you get a list of these or a list of these pictures.
Yeah.
And the only matches that you'll get are women that actually swiped right or some shit like that.
Something like that. Right? The only person I know that came on the podcast to use Bumble was Faisal. He came on the podcast last year.
Was that the same Faisal?
Faisal Shahir. Yeah.
The half Lebanese?
The half Lebanese. Yeah. He was on the podcast last year and he talked about one of the girls he
Faisal,
met.
If you're there, bro, maybe you remember me. You don't remember me. Remember me from Featherston? I only went there for 2 months, but... hey man, salam alaikum.
Might as well 100% be listening. But yeah. He used Bumble, and he was mentioning that last year of a girl that he met with, something like that. So could be the same situation you were mentioning, like in regards to that. But honestly, though, when it comes down to overall with the online dating, it just doesn't benefit the men. Unfortunately, that's
it. It doesn't, right?
Yeah.
So maybe you could say indirectly,
yeah,
that these dating apps were kind of the beginning of the end for the men.
Oh, yeah. Because right. Beforehand, the guys had to go in person, right? They had to go to clubs, right. They had to go to parties, stuff like that. But now...
Yeah, the girl had to work for that drink.
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, men kind of did... I mean, they used to have an upper hand to a certain extent, right? Yeah. They have to, you know, show up in a nice car, maybe, and buy the girl drinks. And, but the girl had to work for that drink, and she had to, you know...
Yeah, but I'll tell you right now, these same guys who are online dating, if they would go to a bar right now, they'll just be paying for drinks all night, accepting nothing.
Yeah, but it's a trial and error basis, man. I guess, you know, the more he goes to the club or the bar, the more comfortable he's going to feel, right? He's gonna peel back the layers, right, into his manhood.
Wow, you have more high hope than I do.
Well, I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's an XY chromosome, right? Right? So I think that human instinct is going to kick in.
Yeah.
Right? Like, look, if those very same guys, let's say we didn't have, like, the internet was cut off.
Yeah.
Right? Russia released some missile that took out our power grid.
Yeah.
No internet connection, whatever.
Yeah.
And you happen to be on an island as well.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of the human species was eradicated.
Yeah.
And you know, you and a handful of people were left. Right?
Yeah.
If it was you and this other girl on this island, right? And you're one of these simpy nerds that never talked to a girl.
Yeah.
I'm sure as time progresses, right? And the more she rejects you, the more that you're gonna, you know, kick into your human instincts.
Yeah.
And just go for it. You're just gonna go for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Peel back the layers. You're going to become a man eventually. A real man. Not a virtual simp man. Right?
That pep talk would have worked 10 years ago. I don't think it's going to work today. I really don't. Especially in 2022. It's not going to work
today. So what's he going to do? He's going to die?
Listen. And I just mentioned this recently in another episode of the Swan Nomad. One man has broken through the summer of 2022. You know who this man is. Andrew Tate. Broken through the internet to tell guys, stop simping. Stop doing all this stuff.
Shout out to Andrew Tate. You're the man.
This guy went on Twitch, told all these teenagers, hey, stop these online dating. Stop this e-dating. Stop going on OnlyFans. Stop watching porn.
Get a Movati membership.
Exactly. Go to the gym. Go out. Talk to women. Talk to guys. You know what I mean? Just like make sure in the end that you know how to socialize. Stop talking to people on the internet. Go meet people in person.
Because these very same people that talk and date on the internet, I'm sure they're the very same trolls on the internet too.
Yeah.
These motherfuckers that like, you know, the keyboard tough guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
They are. They are. A lot of them are. Yeah. A lot of them are. And then when you see pictures of them in real life, they're out of shape dudes. You know what I mean? They worked on their heads. They worked on their brains, but they didn't work out the rest of themselves.
No, they didn't.
You know what I mean? They didn't work on their self-confidence.
Small genitalia too.
Oh man, I got
you know the old saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. Right? Wow. And that's these guys, man. They don't have balls because they never use their balls.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just mentioned it with my other episode with Yusuf. I was just saying like when it comes down to it, like these simps, these OnlyFans girls, they've all basically like went after Andrew Tate because like simps don't like being called out on this BS, and these OnlyFans girls and these porn stars, they don't like their cash cows being told, "Hey, stop watching our content."
That's right.
You gotta improve yourself. They don't want that.
That's right. It's like when the government legalized marijuana.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The dealers were up in arms about it because you're taking away their customers.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And I get it. These porn stars, these OnlyFans girls. Look, as much as I despise these people.
Yeah.
Good for you for tapping into a market of pussies.
Yeah.
All right. And taking advantage of them.
Yeah.
Because
taking advantage of pussies to sell their pussies. It's crazy.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. It's insane that like that's how far we've gone in this year to the point where like, and I feel like in the end, like that's a lesson that a lot of people should be learning, like in regards to that. You know what I mean? Like we saw like earlier this year with Will Smith. We saw
that look that Jada Pinkett gave him, that people's eyebrow that she gave him.
Yeah, and it made him stand up and slap Chris Rock.
Yeah.
For absolute.
It was a bitch slap too.
Yeah.
Not that Will Smith bitch slapped him. No, Will Smith slapped him like a bitch.
Yeah.
Will Smith, I used to love you back in the Fresh Prince of Bel Air, but bro, you slap like a pussy.
Yeah. I a lot of people, I would say, lost a lot of respect for Will Smith. A lot of people, including myself. Cause like, seeing him, your wife cheats on you with a 22-year-old rapper, a 27-year-old rapper, Augusta.
Not to mention that she's fucking Tupac Shakur's sloppy seconds, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. She
was damaged goods when you met her, bro.
Yeah. I believe it was this year on Instagram or last year, she put it on her Instagram to happy birthday to Tupac. While she was still on the outs with Will Smith.
Yeah.
That's what he call, what Rolo Tomasi calls an alpha widow. Where someone remembers their alpha male that they've loved and they can never forget.
They can never forget.
Yeah.
You want to know something? I mean, look, it's evident in his family. You look at his son, he's a fucking little weirdo. Right?
They didn't raise their kids properly.
They didn't, no. I think Willow, his daughter, has more balls than Jaden. Because Jaden is going around, first of all, I think his skin went gray from going vegan or some shit.
Something like that.
Right? And like he's wearing skirts and shit.
Honestly, I would consider that more of a Hollywood trend than anything else because the fathers are absent. So the moms kind of like let the kids do whatever they want. Especially with a very hardcore progressive liberal area that Hollywood is, like the moms are okay with their kids doing what the hell they want. Like you can see the Kardashians are a perfect example. You know what I mean?
Talk about a broken family, bro.
Like that's a heavy broken family from the get-go. You know what I mean? Like Kanye and Tristan Thompson, all those guys, like they're taking heavy L's.
Are you though? You know?
I'll tell you this right now. That's not a family you want to have kids with.
Not a family, but look, that guy, you know, got his way with Kim for God knows how many years, right? But
that's not a girl you want to end up with.
That's a facade, though. But that's a facade, right?
Yeah, it is a facade.
Who knows what happened behind closed doors? Maybe he was like, you know, maybe they had him. They turned him to something that he wasn't.
Honestly,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know when like you're dating this girl that you really, really, really like, and like you see some red flags, but you kind of convince yourself, oh, you know, she just has her beliefs or whatever, and I'm okay with it, but you're really not, right? It's fucking eating you on the inside.
Yeah.
Maybe that was, it was a buildup of that with Kanye West, right?
Yeah. It could be. It could be. But at the same time, maybe he was just sick and tired with all the BS that was going on. Because, like, when it comes down to, like, the Kardashians, for example, there was a lot of, like, drama behind the scenes with a lot of, like, the different family members and, like, what they went through with their significant others, you know what I mean? Like, Lamar Odom was a perfect example with Khloé. Like, Lamar Odom became a crack addict after he left Khloé.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, he was out of the NBA. You know what I mean? This guy was a former two-time NBA champ with Kobe and the Lakers.
I wish I could say I'm a fan.
Yeah.
But I didn't
know. But it's crazy, man. Like, a lot of things, like, happened with it, you know?
Is it her brother that's dating this girl named China Doll?
Black China, Rob Kardashian. Kardashian, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the family, like I said, they're, like, in regards to the Smiths, a lot of Hollywood families are really, really messed up because in the end, the fathers are not there, not present. And, like, basically the moms let the kids
do the poor guy, I mean, first of all, the dad was this lawyer, was one of OJ's lawyers.
Yeah.
What was his name? Was it something Rob Kardashian?
I think it's Robert Kardashian Senior. Senior.
So he was a prominent lawyer in LA.
Yeah.
And he defended OJ after OJ most likely murdered his wife. What else? Oh, even when he was alive. His, what's her name? Kim Kardashian's mom. What the fuck is her name?
Oh, it's Kris Jenner. She's still alive.
Kris Jenner?
Yeah, she's still alive. Yeah.
So she left Rob Kardashian for Bruce Jenner. Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
Okay. Who later on became Caitlyn?
Caitlyn Jenner. Transitioned a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And I mean, that just shows you what a fucked up family they are.
Yeah.
Just confused. Not knowing what they want. They have everything.
Yeah.
But they just, they're oblivious to it.
They're very empty inside. You can tell.
You can tell.
Based on a lot of their problems. And that's what I'm saying. In regards to Will Smith, like, I felt like in the end, like, he never had a handle with his family because he let his family do whatever they want. And I feel like he was never a strong man from the get-go, which is why, like, he let Jada, like, literally cheat on him and then,
you know, honestly, go on YouTube expose that. Here, let's backtrack a little bit.
Yeah.
If he set ground rules from the get-go, I bet you the marriage would have been 100% different.
110%, I agree.
You know what I mean?
100%.
But it's just a buildup of, you know, like, you fool me once, shame on you.
Yeah.
You fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it was a buildup of her treating him like shit, and he's okay with it.
Yeah.
Because I know deep down he's not okay with it. If he's a man, he's not okay with it. But if it's year after year of, you know, you being Jada's bitch, nah, man, that's not going to change. Seeing him do that to Chris Rock the few months ago, that wasn't a surprise.
Yeah.
Wasn't a surprise. This is Tupac's girl, you know?
Yeah, it's beyond sad. Like, in the end, like what he said was he just called her G.I. Jane. Because she had a bald head.
Yeah, she shaved her head.
She shaved her head.
And he's friends with them.
Yeah.
He's friends with him.
Yeah.
You know, and this guy, his job in the Oscars, he's emceeing.
Yeah.
He's a comedian.
Yeah.
He's supposed to get a few laughs. He didn't pick on random targets. He chose Jada and Will because he fucking knows who they are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't the first time they talked.
Yeah.
If my memory serves me right,
yeah.
Chris Rock did an episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air as an up-and-coming comedian.
He did, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Played two characters in that episode. So he knew him, and I'm sure he knew Jada Smith. You know what the funny part is?
Yeah.
The other day she issues an apology.
How many apologies is she issuing? She's been doing it since
April. an official apology.
Yeah, and Will did it back in the summer too. Like, he did an apology, but I think it was back at the end of July. He did an apology too, saying, like, I want to hash out Chris. Chris Rock, like, good man. The guy said in the end, it is what it is. He let it go the very next day when he got slapped. He's like, it is what it is and whatever. You know, he made jokes about it when he was on tour during the summer. But honestly, when it comes down to the end, like, a lot of people lost a lot of respect for Will Smith. I did. I was one of those people. And I feel like in the end, that was a turning point for a lot of men watching that, because they're like, if this guy is a really powerful Hollywood actor and he's basically like bending over backwards for her while she's basically disrespecting Will Smith for years.
Yeah, apparently she didn't acknowledge what he did too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it was almost like, hey, honey, I slapped him. She's like, get the fuck
Everybody
away from me.
Everybody knows it, she whispered into his ear, gave him the look. Yeah. But Will Smith would never gone out unless she did it. You know what I mean?
Well, he laughed before he went out.
He laughed. Of course, she must have nudged him or something. We all saw it. He thought it was funny, but she looked at him like angry and probably nudged him and he had to stand up. Because like in the end, he has no spine. You could have just told, hey, lighten up. It's just a joke. Yeah. You know what I mean? But then in the end, you made him look bad. You told him to go up and slap him. I mean, and then you're mad at him.
At the end of the day, he's a man. He's got balls, right?
Yeah.
And he could have dealt with it in a different way.
Yeah.
Dana White, if you're listening, I'm sure you're not, but if you are, there's a match right there you could set up.
A celebrity MMA match between Will Smith and...
Will Smith, Chris Rock.
Chris Rock.
Or the same people that handle Jake Paul. Jake Paul's clown fights. You guys can do a celebrity boxing match between Chris Rock and Will Smith. And I bet you anything, Chris Rock is going to show up that night.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I can probably say with certainty Chris Rock would show up. I don't know about Will Smith. I think he'll probably send his representatives and I apologize.
No, I mean show up in his performance, right?
I'm talking about him showing up to the fight. Yeah. I don't think Will Smith will show up to a fight.
No, let's say he did.
Yeah.
I think Chris Rock is going to like lay the smackdown.
Oh, 100%.
You know?
Yeah, he's from New York.
I'm not going to say that he's going to whoop his ass or not.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to say... This guy is, I'm sure he's going to pack a punch.
Oh, 100%.
Pent up frustration.
100%.
You know?
Yeah.
And I can tell you this, Will. On that night, Chris Rock was a bigger man than you are.
Yeah. I think the entire world saw that.
Yeah.
I think the entire world saw that. A lot of people saw that, and it kind of opened a lot of people's eyes. And that's what I was mentioning with Yusuf. I said, like, when it came down to Will Smith, when it came down to the Johnny Depp trial... A lot of guys, I think, kind of like opened their eyes up and like,
okay, listen, guys, it's not just the guys that open their eyes. Look, I have just as much respect, if not more, for the women out there, the sisters.
Yeah.
The opposite sex. If you are able to stand up against other women who are abusing the positions that they are getting because of today's societal norms, hats off to you. You know, I want to shake your hand. I want to hug you and acknowledge that, you know, you are the ideal woman because you are standing up for what's right.
Yeah.
Right. You are not going to gang up on these poor men that aren't able to defend themselves.
Yeah.
I don't know if these types of, I'm sure they exist, but you know, I'd love to have one of them on your podcast one day. The type to stand up to the abusive woman. You know what I'm talking about?
I'll be perfectly honest.
The ones that stand up against the Jadas and what's her name?
Amber Heard?
Amber Heard's, yeah.
I'll be perfectly honest. I think a lot of guys are, wouldn't go that far in doing it. I think they would probably talk about it outside of the podcast. But like, and I've met a lot of those guys actually.
No, ladies.
Oh, that would call out their BS.
Call out the bullshit of fellow women that are abusing their power.
I think I know a lot of women that would call.
I would love to see that.
I would love to see that. I don't know if they would want to come on, but like, I have talked to a lot of women this year. When they watched the Amber Heard trial, they were glad that Amber Heard's lies were caught out on trial. They were really glad, you know.
I think a lot of that, you know, let me play devil's advocate for a little bit. Maybe it just, they called out Amber Heard because of their secret crush for Johnny Depp. Is it really because they believe that, you know, this is a prime example of women abusing their roles nowadays? Or is it because they think Johnny Depp is a hunk?
Yeah.
And they wish that they were Amber Heard?
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a gray area.
You're right. Yeah. You know what? Thinking about that now, you're probably right, because I did remember when I was watching the trial and like there was a lot of huge female fan base outside, like screaming for Johnny. So you are right. There was like a section of that were just like fangirling for Johnny Depp. So you're right. Yeah, where I feel like they were biased no matter what, because in the end, they would definitely want to replace Amber Heard at that point.
Absolutely.
And they felt like in the end, Amber Heard was not the right person for Johnny Depp, because she used Johnny Depp to advance her career.
She really did.
Yeah.
But bro, she's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous,
she's
but like...
beautiful.
But there was a lot of red flags from the get-go.
Well, yeah, she's like 40 years younger than him.
No, it wasn't that. Yeah. It wasn't that. It was... because she's bisexual.
I know that.
So she had very abusive relationship with a girl that she was seeing before she met with Johnny Depp.
What, she was beating her girl?
Beating her girl.
No shit.
Yeah. Wow. And apparently, and like when people found that out during the trial, a lot of people were looking at Johnny Depp kind of like, yo, if you knew this girl had like a very bad history, very like abusive history with like partner she had in the past, why would you marry her?
Maybe because he's like, I'm a man, so she can't do the same, you know, I'm physically imposing.
No, he was mentally weak. Like a lot of exposure, because he did a lot of drugs.
You know what? Yes, you're right. Yeah. I think Johnny Depp was
simping. He's a very flawed guy.
No. He was simping. You know why?
He was simping too, yeah.
Because he's a 60-year-old man.
Yeah.
Marrying this drop dead gorgeous girl
with a horrible personality.
Horrible personality.
Very abusive,
yeah, all these bad qualities. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe he's trying to convince himself that he still got it after all these years. He's a stud, right? He can look what I can get.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And bro, you know what's even more fucked up?
Yeah.
Didn't she have a baby while they were together?
Yeah.
With another man?
Yeah.
That's fucked, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, and then then they show a video of her like cheating with what's his name, the guy who played Harry Osborn in Spider-Man,
James Franco.
James Franco,
yeah, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, they showed clip of in 2016 where he went to their condo while Johnny Depp was like overseas.
Wow.
Yeah, and he basically was like having fun with Amber Heard.
He was a regular visitor, right?
Yeah, I was like, wow. When I saw that, I was shocked. I was like, wow. James Franco doing that. I was like, wow. I'm like...
But
like,
bro, it makes more sense than her being with Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look, and another red flag, and I don't know why. This guy should have been smarter than that.
Yeah.
He did not sign a prenuptial agreement.
Yep.
How the fuck could you do that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, do you begrudge Andrew Heard? Or Amber Heard? Sorry, Amber Heard?
No, I don't. I don't in the end. Because in the end, she was looking out for her career. Before she met Johnny Depp, she was doing like C-level, B-level movies. The only movie I remember her in was Never Back Down. That kickboxing thing.
Oh, she was that girl?
She was that girl.
Really?
Yeah. From Never Back Down, 08. Yeah, I like that film. And that's how I remember
it. It's like a... hold on, what do you call those? What do you call it? I call it a bubblegum MMA movie.
Yeah. It was literally what it was in the end. Yeah. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay, she's fine. She didn't really stand out. She was just like a typical blonde girl. But I guess only remember her was because of that, you know? And then once I found out she married Johnny Depp, and now what? She becomes, she gets that Aquaman role. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, there's this benefits of getting Johnny Depp. Now you're getting a huge comic book role in DC.
She fucked her way to the top, bro.
Yeah. 110%. She got the access she needed, you know what I mean? Because she would never have gotten those roles before. She's not a good enough actress. If you've seen a lot of her stuff,
Johnny Depp is nice enough to let her act in one of those movies so that she can pay him back.
Well, the thing is, she got dropped by all the movies.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Including DC. DC is apparently trying to let her go of her role in Aquaman 2 and want to recast her. Because, the lies caught up with her. And that's what the theme of this episode is, people, your history. Your history will catch
up
with you.
Your checkered past is going to catch up with you, folks.
Yeah.
You know, I had to learn the hard way. You know, I don't want to take up too much of War Sammy's time, but I was caught a couple of times texting other girls that I shouldn't have been texting.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not an angel. I'm not, you know, you can tell by the way that I talk, but I'm coming clean.
Yeah.
I wasn't an angel. But if you learn to call out your bullshit, take accountability, be truthful to yourself, and most importantly, to your significant other, you won't have a lot of headache to deal with.
Yeah.
Just be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I 100% agree. As long as, you understand the BS that you're going through and you feel like in the end you can get out of it, 110% I agree. Yeah, I feel like in the end, me personally, I would love to like write a list of like the stuff like I feel like what not to do and just be like, you know what? Like I have the mental fortitude to not do that bullshit again. You know what I mean? Or have even somebody else call her out, like a friend call her out. You know what I mean? Like have somebody within your inner circle like call that BS out.
Yeah, like an intervention, if you will.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
This is a lot of men have a problem with this, but it's even harder for women.
Yeah.
It's even harder for women because they feel like they have something to prove.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Ladies, you're just going to be held as accountable, if not more, than men are. Yeah. Just stop the act and just, you know, just come to terms with your bullshit.
Yeah.
And if you want your life to move on, don't lie.
Yeah.
Don't lie. I'm not just picking on the fellow brothers there, especially the women.
Yeah.
Don't fuck around.
Yeah, it's you only have one life to live, honestly.
Yeah, and try to live it with at least headaches as possible.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, because in the end, especially in this day and age, we're in 2022. You post anything, you have like a secret to pass it. It will come out eventually. It will come out.
Yeah,
and that's the unfortunate thing about this. You know, like we're learning all about it this year with a lot of people. So, even celebrities in general as well. So it does happen, and you gotta be cognizant on that aspect as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And look, for those that I offended with you know, interpretations of Islamic belief and you know, interpreting the scriptures, look, if you reach out to the podcast, let us know if this is something that you want us to elaborate on in future episodes. Okay? If you're angry or whatever, reach out. Tell us what you want us to talk about. We'll be more than happy to oblige. You know, where Sammy and I talk to each other about, you know, being a regular on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And yeah, no, I'd love doing this. I'd love to be there for my boy. I'd love to be there for all you out there. Anybody who has a question about anything that I said or have a question about myself or any of my experiences, reach out. Don't hesitate. Even if you hate me, call me a piece of shit, whatever, I'll be happy to oblige.
Yeah, I haven't, be really honest, I haven't gotten that much negative feedback in the podcast, especially even last year too, with the first season. Like, yeah. I've gotten like some DMs and I've got comments, stuff like that, but like, I felt like some of them were trolls.
Yeah.
But like, constructive criticism, I have gotten that on certain episodes, and I've told certain people on that, so what they felt, and you know, they've taken a stride, and some people were like, ah, screw it. Who cares what they feel like, you know? But it is what it is. Like, I told people in the past, like, my emails are open. My Instagram DMs are open. People also have me on Snapchat too. So I'm like, hey, if you have any issues on what's said in the podcast, you know, you can feel free to come on and even have like a debate as well. You know, I've told people in the past, hey, we can definitely have like a debate.
Yeah. One thing that I was thinking about is maybe like previous guests.
Yeah.
You know, do like a little round table.
Yeah.
With a few mics hooked up and we can talk and, you know.
Yeah.
However long it takes for us to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
You know, we all welcome that.
Yeah. I don't think it's gone that far yet because I haven't gone.
I'm sure it'll get there one day.
I agree. It hasn't gone there that far yet, but like, I feel like, there will be a turning point where someone will be like, you know, I want to get on and stuff. But so far, I feel like everybody's kind of like understanding other people's different personalities and different points of view as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure.
You have anything else you want to add before we wrap up this episode of the Swelling Nomad?
Well, all I want to say is that thank you for having me here again.
Yeah.
It was an honor and a pleasure.
Yeah.
And it was an honor and a pleasure to speak to all of you that are listening. I know I mentioned in the past that I'm going to be doing a podcast that's still in the works. It's going to be a more elaborate, sophisticated podcast in the sense that it's going to have, you know, one permanent setting where people come to me as opposed to meeting up and whatever. And, stay tuned for that. I know Warsami will plug it in his podcast.
Yeah.
And we'll give out information like Instagram page, Twitter page, and we're gonna have fun. We're gonna have different episodes, different themes, and we hope to have you listen then.
Absolutely, yeah. So I will. Mohammed mentioned last year with the podcast, like he's still working on it. He's still getting the equipment. He's still doing a lot of logistics. So, but yeah, once it comes on, I'm going to be on it. I'm going to definitely come on his podcast as well. And yeah, I'm going to plug it in and let you guys know when that happens. But yeah, his is going to be a lot more sophisticated than mine. We're going to talk about a lot of different topics. It's going to be sports. It's going to be life. It's going to be politics. It's going to be a lot of other stuff, you know? So, that was something that me and him, we talked about for a couple of years. And, yeah, he's kind of been working on that and he wants to kind of be like the Joe Rogan of Ottawa.
Yeah, not quite. I still have a better head of hair than Joe Rogan.
That is a good point. Yeah. Mohammed does have a lot of hair compared to Joe Rogan where he shaved his head. But yeah, that's like the game plan for him. He wants to have his own Joe Rogan type of spot where, he has multiple cameras and all that kind of stuff. That's what we've been talking about for years. So he's investing a lot.
We'll refute some topics. You know, the thing about Joe Rogan is there's not too many people that are refuting some controversial comments that he'd made or you know, talk about some controversial guests.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's what we need. We need an opposing podcast.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So that's something Mohammed is going to work on. But first and foremost, man, thank you, Mohammed, for coming to the podcast.
My pleasure,
man.
Brother.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Long time coming. And like Mohammed said, I'm going to have him more often on the podcast. Yeah, thank you so much, my man. And thank you, everybody, for listening to the Somali Nomad. I'm your host, Sammy, and I'll catch you guys on the flip side.